Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD, iHeart, or wherever you're listening to. Thank you very much for doing that. And feel free to tell your friends about us and to rate us daily, weekly. This is 1218B. The Bs are always great guests, and we have one lined up for you today. Lynn Peoples is author of The Inner Clock, Living in Sync with Our Circadian Rhythms. It's published by Riverhead Books. It's available on Amazon now. The website that you can go to find out more about Lynn Peoples is just that, L-Y-N-N-E Peoples, P-E-E-P-L-E-S.com. And Lynn has written the book, as I said, The Inner Clock. We, as usual, are brought to you by longevityplaybook.com. Go there to sign up for the free newsletter. And maybe we should have one on The Inner Clock, because it does have a lot to do with good cartoons. And one of the keys of the weekly newsletter is a great cartoon that at least keeps me laughing. And the other sponsor is a serious one, LifesFirstNaturals.com, the makers of both bovine colostrum and TrueBiotics. Go to their website, LifesFirstNaturals.com, to see the randomized double-blind control trials on why most of us over the age of 40 should consider both of those supplements as a routine. Lynn, thank you very much for coming on. Before I get to some of the more fascinating parts of the book and your exploration of this field and endeavors in it specifically, tell me about something about circadian rhythms and longevity. So most of we focus on longevity, and I know I'm throwing you a curveball because I didn't tell you anything about this. I never do any of the guests, any of the questions. But since we focus on longevity, how do our circadian rhythms affect our longevity?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. It's really a pleasure to be on with you today. And longevity comes into play in a number of ways with our circadian rhythms. First thing that comes to mind is a growing body of research right now that is looking at just that direct link between the robustness, the strength of our circadian rhythms, and the quantity of our years. I mean, quality, of course, but also that quantity piece. So the science is still pretty young, but there is some evidence that the strength of our circadian rhythms gets weaker as we get older. And the correlation between that and the rise of chronic disease that comes in our later years, it's a chicken or egg thing to some degree. But we definitely see a link there. And that includes dementia and Alzheimer's.
So what you're saying is we lose some of the rhythm, some of the difference between night and day as we get older, and that loss correlates with the development of markers of aging as well as with dementia.
Yes. And scientists believe it's probably going both ways. So as our rhythms dampen, that may be driving the rise of those factors that lead to dementia, but it could be going the other way as well, with the dementia, the effect on our brain also, you know, having its own effect on our rhythms and dampening them further. But if you think about it, your young kid is going all day, right? Lots of energy, sleeping hard at night. As we get older, it's like we may be napping more during the day, falling asleep in the chair, having a harder time to sleep at night. It's just those daily rhythms, not just of sleep, are not going to be as distinct.
Now, we have rhythms of hormones that are strong. Obviously, cortisol comes to mind, but clotho and a number of other rhythms that are relating to things we secrete that are more commonly higher, even testosterone in the early morning hours and lower or late in the day. For example, what's the pathway that does that with testosterone? Or what's the pathway that does that? Is that all through the supranuclear chiasmatic nucleus, or how does that occur?
Super chiasmatic nucleus. I love the term super charismatic nucleus, as a lot of scientists called it for me. So my understanding is that, so we have this network of clocks throughout our body. Nearly every cell has a clock, and they're all in coordination with a primary director in the brain, that super charismatic nucleus, the SCN. And it's sort of the master clock or conductor of the symphony, if you will. But we're finding that more and more, like, body parts and even the skin can kind of act as its own primary clock too, and take in cues from the outside world. So that isn't a complete picture right now, but you can just think of all your clocks in your body are working in coordination, or they're trying to, if you do the right things with your circadian hygiene. And as one of the outputs of that system, because they're driving so much of our physiology, one of the outputs is the rise and fall of various hormone cycles. So yes, there's various drivers, but the circadian rhythm, it's pumping up that melatonin later at night. In the morning, it's pumping up that cortisol, along with, like, as you mentioned, testosterone. These things are all very tightly linked to your circadian rhythm.
Now, is there a difference between men and women in the circadian rhythm and in how fast or slow we tend to lose it as we get older? And what can we do? The corollary question is, what can we do with what you called circadian hygiene to try and preserve our circadian rhythms?
So your first question, men versus women, yes, there are differences. And we think it's primarily dependent on hormone differences, especially estrogen. So until a woman reaches about midlife, they tend on average to be earlier birds than men. And then at about that point, as estrogen levels drop, their rhythms are shifting and more closely match men later in life.
If they have hormone replacement therapy, do they stay on the same rhythm?
I don't have a direct answer to that, but I'm going to guess that they're going to keep a more robust rhythm that they had prior, because I think it is that drop in estrogen, as I understand it, that is lengthening the rhythm more or less to make them a little more of a night owl than they used to be. But it also just overall weakens the rhythm. So estrogen is driving a very robust circadian rhythm for most, or on average for a woman.
Now, we've learned recently that melatonin is important at decreasing cancer as well as preserving or preventing macular degeneration. Does taking melatonin routinely as you get older help preserve the circadian rhythm or help eradicate it?
I don't have an answer to that, to be honest. From what I've gleaned from the scientists, taking melatonin regularly is not necessarily advised, but I can't comment. I have heard about that research on cancer, so that is definitely an area that's being looked at. And there's some mixed evidence, but definitely some strong evidence in that direction. So I have seen that, but I am not sure about the link to keeping circadian rhythm strong. I think the best answer, right, is to try to keep your own melatonin pumping strongly. And to, going back to your second question, trying to keep robust circadian rhythms for yourself. And that really comes down to trying to provide yourself exposure to the natural cues that tell your body it's day versus night. So that means bright days. It means getting outside in the morning, being by a window if you can, trying to get doses of daylight and bright, blue-rich artificial light as a supplement if necessary. And then at night, to shutting those lights down, turning down the lights as early in the evening as possible, kind of with the sun, and trying to give your body that contrast. And then it's also about thinking about the same thing for your eating. You know, eat during daylight hours. Don't eat late at night. Think about, I guess, your ancestors. How did we evolve, right? We were outside. We were probably only eating during the daylight hours. And then consistency. If you can just go to bed at the same time every night, eat about the same times every day, exercise about the same times, you're giving your body that structure, that rhythm that your circadian system will abide by.
We're talking with Lynn Peoples, LynnePeoples, double E in there, lynnpeoples.com, who's the author of The Inner Clock, a really very fine book, an excellent book on living in sync with our circadian rhythms. It's a book about your circadian rhythm and how to, I would say, keep it robust as time goes on and as the years go on. One of the interesting things I heard that you did in learning about this book and that you write about is you went in a Cold War era bunker. So a Cold War era bunker is probably what many people are seeking nowadays again. So tell us what a Cold War era bunker is. Those of us who are too young to remember it, that's obviously not me, or too old to remember going into one, probably don't remember what they are. So tell us what a Cold War era bunker is. And I'll tell you, when we lived in California, we used to practice for the earthquakes by turning off electricity, gas, and tell you of the one problem we had.
So this might not be what you're picturing. So this was the command control center for a missile silo. So it was a bunker during the Cold War era. They housed a nuclear missile, very large missile, in this silo. And then this was the place I stayed, was a former command control center. So it was actually pretty large. It's three stories, but all well underground. And this man had actually purchased this from the government and spent a lot of money and a lot of time fixing it up into an Airbnb. So it was a luxurious bunker that I spent 10 nights in.
So it was underground, so you didn't have light cues.
No daylight, no clocks.
But you did have, if you will, electric lights that could be blue wavelength and orange wavelength and red wavelength.
Right. So I set them all to red and pretty dim, because red is the color that's not supposed to affect your circadian rhythms as much.
And what happened?
Yeah, I mean, as predicted, my body clocks got a little wonky. They didn't have the cues. So I was wearing a bunch of devices to measure my various rhythms, temperature, heart rate, sleep, blood glucose. And I had some scientists help me analyze the data later. And we found that, you know, a few days in, about day five, these rhythms all lost coordination. Before, they were kind of predictably moving in sync. And at that point, like, the length of a day, according to my liver part, were different. And I felt it. It was like jet lag.
How long did it take you back in normal conditions to recover?
It was a few days. It wasn't terribly long, thankfully, but it was probably day four back home that I was feeling better.
Now, people will say that they tend to recover faster from jet lag, changes in circadian rhythms, than that. Is your recovery from jet lag 4 or 5 days, or have you not experienced that?
So they say, what, like a day per time zone, right? So it's about an hour that your body can naturally adjust. And about day eight in the bunker, I was about flipped. I was living my days at night when, you know, everybody above ground was asleep. And then I think by the time I was at the end, I was maybe 8-9 hours off. So I seemed to recover faster than you might expect. Although, wait, I was a couple time zones away. So that's right. So that makes some of the difference up there. But it was about 4 or 5 days. So yeah, maybe a little over an hour a day that I recovered it. And it was miserable. It was the most extreme form of jet lag I've ever felt.
Well, you can see where that's used as part of torture. And that disrupts people. So that's part of what torture is living in a bunker. When we were in San Francisco, we turned off the electricity, turned off the light, had plenty of flashlights, and et cetera. This was in the 80s. What we, of course, forgot was a can opener. So we had propane, we had all the food, but all we could drink was wine and water, and couldn't get in at any of the food, because back then there weren't these self-opening cans like there are now. So anyway, we did have a corkscrew, which we remembered, but that was it. So one of the things you have to do when you're in a bunker situation is remember to bring something that will open the food, as well as, it doesn't help to have a propane stove if you don't have anything to put on the stove. In any case, we've been talking with the delightful Lynn Peoples, PEEPLES.com, and she is the author of The Inner Clock, Living in Sync with Our Circadian Rhythms. It is available now on Amazon and all the sites, as well as your local bookstore. Thanks very much for being here, Lynn. Thank you for listening to us, and thank you, Brad, for substituting as our engineer today, since AJ is on vacation. And thanks to longevityplaybook.com. Go there to sign up for the free newsletter. Pretty soon, you'll be able to go there and sign up for the longevity coaching program that is a AI phone program. So you don't have to know an app. You don't even have to know anything but a phone number. But that's not quite available yet. We expect it about a month from this date. And the other is lifesfirstnaturals.com, the makers of both Truebiotics and Bovine Colostrum, as well as Dye Rescue. Thanks very much. And you can go to their website, lifesfirstnaturals.com. Go to their website to look at the double-blind randomized controlled trials that indicate why, if you're a heavy exerciser, you definitely should be on Bovine Colostrum. But check with your physician before you do anything. Anything we say here, except for keep your circadian rhythm strong with a little blue light in the morning, orange light in the evening, red light at night, stable bed and wake times, and the other things that encourage the circadian hygiene, as Lynn Peoples writes in her book, The Inner Clock. Thanks again. See you next week on the radio.